So hello and welcome to the Leadership Educator Podcast. My name is Dan Jenkins. I'm Chair and Associate Professor of Leadership and Organizational Studies at the University of Southern Maine.
And I am Lauren Bullock, Assistant Professor of Instruction at Temple University, and we are both excited for today's episode of the Leadership Educator Podcast. During our first season, which is available wherever you can get podcasts, we talked about leadership educators, who they are, what they do, etc. This season, Dan and I are speaking with educators from each of the ILEC professional associations, ALE, ILA, NASPA, NACA, ACPA, ACUI, and the NCLP. Well, I know that's a lot of alphabet soup. Trust me, that's where leadership educators are getting involved in learning more about the community. Today's episode is special because we get to converse with Carrie Priest about her involvement in the leadership associations that I just mentioned, and she gets to share her research on leadership educators. So first, Carrie, welcome officially to the Leadership Educator Podcast.
Thanks, Lauren.
You are so welcome. And before we jump into our list of questions, we'd love to hear a little bit about your background. Would you start by telling us how you got into leadership education?
Sure, I'd love to. This really is the basis of a lot of my research is trying to understand people's journeys into the field and their story. And I feel like my story is a bit of a winding one. My background, in some ways, I feel like I've always been an educator. I've always wanted to be a teacher in some way. And when I was younger, I was involved in some leadership organizations, youth leadership organizations, 4-H, the National FFA organization, organizations that really focused on agricultural education and leadership. And so my pathway for leadership really begins with involvement in those youth leadership opportunities. Through that involvement, you know, it really sparked my interest in developing leadership in others. And so my degree was actually in agricultural education. I was planning to be a high school agricultural education teacher. And then upon graduation, my path took a bit of a turn and I ended up taking an internship for a leadership development company in Atlanta, Georgia. I was working for a leadership author, kind of a prominent leadership author, and their organization doing kind of where they did a lot of conferences, sold books and resources, kind of corporate training sort of spaces. And what was supposed to be a one-year internship turned into working full-time and being involved in the leadership development industry kind of from an organizational perspective. And so learned a lot about just the interest and the hunger for leadership development within our culture and within organizations. But while I was there, just really missed the opportunity to teach and be a teacher. And so started exploring again, how could I teach leadership to college students, right? I had actually been in a leadership studies program in college, but hadn't ever really thought about like that is a profession. I'd never really made the connection that that you could become someone who teaches leadership in college. So through a kind of a series of events and relationships and really reconnecting with some of my ag education roots, found a master's program in agricultural leadership at the University of Georgia and started to pursue higher education with this goal in mind that I wanted to teach leadership to college students. That then led me to Virginia Tech, where I, also within the College of Agriculture, I had the chance to have an assistantship working with a leadership living learning community. So was part of an interdisciplinary leadership studies minor at Virginia Tech, teaching courses and working with this kind of co-curricular academic partnership within living learning spaces. And that really got me interested and hooked in this kind of interdisciplinary leadership education world, the relationship between academic affairs and student affairs, and how do we really focus on student development as well as academic learning in partnership. And and I guess the rest is history. So I ended up here back at Kansas State University, where I did my undergrad as an assistant professor in a leadership studies program. So I've been here for 8 years now, and now an associate professor of leadership studies, working with our undergraduate leadership studies minor, and recently took on a role with as a graduate faculty member in our interdisciplinary leadership communication doctoral program as well.
Awesome.
Long story.
It's all good. And you know, Carrie, I really wanted you, you know, to be on this podcast because, well, a variety of reasons, but in particular for this particular, you know, season, you know, you had spent a good amount of time representing the Association of Leadership Educators at a few of the summer summits of the ILEC and really helped, you know, with a very heavy lift to help steer the publication of that white paper in 2016 from that group. And then later, you know, we edited and revised that in 2019. And concurrently, you've done, you know, quite a bit of research on the development of leadership educators' professional identity. So Karen and I, we must have met at an ALE or ILA conference in either 2011 or 2012. We found that we were both interested in learning about individuals like ourselves that we were that we are identifying as leadership educators in higher education. And then I guess serendipitously, we both took on tenure track roles in the same year. In fact, I was a candidate for Carrie's position at Kansas State, which I've joked with her about in the past. And we, through this mutual interest and finding ourselves kind of in, you know, living parallel lives on the tenure track, we decided to collaborate and do some focus groups and roundtable sessions at ILA and ALE to learn about the professional development needs of leadership educators. And Carrie and I were also, probably one of our early collaborations was spawned from some work with Corey C. Miller and the Leadership Education Academy, because we were collecting information from leadership educators about their, again, their professional development needs and what a more focused program or experience would look like for that. I know that you and Corey collected a lot of data from the inaugural LEA in 2015 and then again in 2017, and have published some articles with her on leadership educator professional identity development, and also most recently co-edited and was lead editor on a New Directions for Student Leadership series on becoming and being a leadership educator. And so having said all of that, we also wanted you on as a guest to respond in part to our episode from last season that asked that question, you know, who are leadership educators? And, you know, that was based on some of the research that I had done, but a lot has happened since I interviewed those individuals and where we are in the current state of the field. So, you know, we're intellectually curious about your thoughts around the LEPID model and the concept of becoming and being a leadership educator. So before we jump into that, and I'd love to hear thoughts on that model, I'd love to ask you, what are some of the ways that you identify as a leadership educator?
Yeah. So can I go back to how we met, Dan?
Sure. Yes. Fill in the gaps.
The way we actually connected is we were both part of the planning team for the ILA case competition. Does that sound right?
That does sound right, because that was how I met Eric Kaufman, who I know you worked with at Virginia Tech. That does make a little bit more sense.
And we had actually never met before, but I remember at an ALE conference, you being like, "Hey, I'm Dan. We are on the same team." And I was like, "Cool." And I think that at that conference, you were presenting some research around the signature pedagogies and some of the things that you've been doing from your dissertation. And I found that really interesting. I think I sent you an email saying, "Hey, you want to collaborate maybe for a conference?" And you were like, "Well, I'm already doing something, but here's this thing with LEA we're trying to start," which didn't even have a name at that time. Well, the reason I share that is because I think one thing I've learned through my own experiences and through the research is just the power of connections. Right. And the ways that when we sometimes it can feel so isolating to be a leadership educator. For me, even going into, I was entering into a program that actually was fairly big. Like it was in terms of there's like, you know, at least 10 faculty who are doing leadership education, but not so many folks who were like on the tenure track at the time. And so in some ways, my role felt kind of unique and I was unsure what I was doing, right? So I was looking for people who were kind of trying to figure out what they were doing. Also at that time, when I first started, a lot of uncertainty about how do I communicate what we do to the rest of academia and particularly going through like a tenure track process. And so I think finding people with those common questions and maybe looking for some sense of legitimacy was what kind of spurred on some of those initial questions that turned into research questions. And so just the power of reaching out and finding folks with common interests or even differing interests and just being able to connect virtually and through our professional associations is really, really important. So going back to the question you asked me though, Dan, how do I identify as a leadership educator? Sure. I think I identify in a couple different ways. One is, I mean, obviously through my role or position, right? So I have a professional role as a developer and teacher of leadership in a leadership studies program. So I'm a member of a faculty that does leadership studies, leadership education. So that's one way I identify through my formal role. But I also identify as a scholar practitioner. So I not only teach, but I also study and practice leadership learning and development. And that is, again, through formal courses, graduate and undergraduate courses, but also, you know, I do professional workshops. I do research, qualitative research, and community-engaged scholarship, and then also do some training and consulting in my own community and with organizations. So I see myself as a leadership educator in multiple contexts, but also not just an educator, but like an educator practitioner and an educator scholar. So those roles really blend for me. And then another way I identify as a leadership educator is as part of a professional community of practice. And so some of the associations we've been mentioning, Association of Leadership Educators, International Leadership Association, being part of a Leadership Education Academy, having been a part of ILEC, my membership in those communities and the relationships within those communities have helped me to figure out who I am as an educator and given me a chance to also help others think about who they are, help our field think about what is it that we're, who are we and what are we trying to do. And so that's been a really important part of my own sort of identification as a member of the broader leadership education community.
You know, it's so interesting that you share those pieces of your own identity. I'm wondering, you know, how much intersection is there with your research? So for example, when you mentioned earlier, like about the isolation of leadership education, I could completely relate. I connected with different faculty members who taught leadership education, but when I worked in student affairs, you know, there wasn't anybody doing leadership. It was just me. So when I was looking for conversations or best practices, I had to go out and make some leadership educator best friends. So kind of like you and Dan are our leadership educator best friends. I had to go find my own peers to have that relationship with. But even then, they could understand from their lens and maybe their past experiences at different schools, but they couldn't understand from this intersection of my school as well as me trying to teach leadership education in my community. So again, you shared some of your identities. What have you seen in the research or in your own experience about leadership educators?
Yeah, so Corey Stiemiller and I have had an opportunity to work through a line of research, leadership educator professional identity development. And really, again, starting from some of these questions and conversations that Dan mentioned, starting with focus groups and just being like, I wonder if other people feel this way, right? And if so, what does that mean? So we started by looking to the literature, a lot of the teacher educator literature and some of the other kind of professional preparation literature to try to understand this idea of like professional identity. What is it? What does it mean? What might it mean for leadership educators? And what we started with was sort of a conceptualization of professional identity development for leadership educators. And so, and of course, this was like so, you know, again, it was really coming from this kind of personal place as well as this sort of collective experience, right? So I was interested in understanding multiple perspectives, but definitely, you know, it struck a chord within my own heart as we were trying to make sense of all of this. And so leadership educator professional identity development, like an kind of official way of talking about it, defining it, right, is this multidimensional process of becoming a leadership educator. And it involves perceptions of self and in relation to others. And these perceptions help to create a set of relationships and a standards of practice that define how we feel in terms of our competence and expertise and how and the ways that we participate in these relationships and these practices. That's what offers us some legitimacy and kind of propels our trajectory across some stages of development that we've identified. The first thing we did was conceptualize this model, and then we did some kind of a confirmatory study. We invited people to share their own stories of critical incidents, significant moments of their own kind of process. And what we were able to do was kind of validate that there are some stages of development that leadership educators go through. We're able to really kind of expand and confirm that model to recognize that for many folks, early leadership experiences or opportunities have a lot of influence on how people kind of enter into the field, but that that they do go through various stages of kind of exploration where, you know, you're not really sure if you're a leadership educator or want to be, but you're kind of trying on different parts of that identity, some experimentation, ultimately through validation and confirmation, and that those validation and confirmation stages really have a lot to do with others, right? Mentors, sponsors, colleagues who recognize and kind of that when we think about leadership identity, like Daru and Ashford talk about like a granting and claiming process. I don't know if you've read any of that literature, but in some ways, like that our professional identity is also sort of this granting and claiming process that, you know, as we have things published, as we become more connected in our field, as we have mentors and folks inviting us to participate in things like panels and podcasts, and that offers again, kind of a sense of legitimacy and competency that helps us to in our sense of professional identity, and then that we turn that back to others, right? And so then once we reach this kind of confirmation stage, we begin to be the mentors and invite younger professionals into spaces as well. And so we saw examples of folks in all of those kind of different stages. And that there were certain kinds of experiences and we call them kind of influences and critical incidents that help move people along those stages. What was really interesting was some of the themes that came up around critical incidents was the feeling of imposter syndrome was pretty common for leadership educators. Folks maybe not feeling like they have expertise, at least early in their careers. And as we know, leadership and leadership studies is such a vast field. How can we ever really be experts at leadership, right? But that maybe a lack of formal training or being maybe the only person in their field, having to explain themselves to others, right? These kinds of things create that sense of imposter syndrome. But the presence of mentors, the presence of a community of practice, those were really important to helping people kind of work through that. So I think that answers your question, maybe of like some of my own experiences I could see reflected in the experiences of others, and that as we kind of lay all of our stories side by side, we begin to see these patterns that can help inform the ways we begin to think about then professional development, professional preparation, creating spaces for community. To me, that's the ultimate goal. It's one thing to kind of like understand yourself and be like, okay, I'm not alone and this makes sense for me. But what I'm interested in is then how does that inform the way we continue to advance kind of the preparation of leadership educators moving forward?
Yeah, so it definitely answers my questions. And it also spurns a whole bunch of great other questions that I now want to ask some of my peers. Like my first thought is, you know, why isn't getting the job title enough? Meaning when you get the position or like as assistant professor or a coordinator in leadership development, like why isn't that enough for you to feel like, you know, you are now officially a leadership educator? But then I think about my own experience. It was LEI at Ohio State in I think 2012, and a gentleman stood across the room. And I remember him saying, you know, I don't have a degree in leadership education. And Susan Komovas, you know, looked at him and said, it's okay. Like most of us don't, like you can still go out there and do this work. And I feel like in that moment, that's where I was like, yeah, you know, yeah, I can do this work. And I am a leadership educator. And from there it was, okay, so I know who I am now. Let me continue moving forward and do what's best for my students. So yes, you definitely did respond. And now I'm like, I've got all these questions and notes and stories to share that connect to that. So,
well, you know, I love that because really this is just a starting point of the research. And I always try to communicate that even with this model, you know, anytime you put like a theory or a model or something forward, you know, there's always room to critique, to extend, to challenge it. And I would invite scholars to and practitioners alike to ask, like, is this true for me? Like, what else could be? How might we look at this through a more critical lens? I think there's lots of questions yet to be asked around. And Dan, I know you've done a lot of research too around who are leadership educators and, you know, what are some of the experiences that they have, their best practices? What does it mean to be and become? Like, you know, those are places where our scholarship overlaps. But I think the thing we've talked a lot about is like, how do we begin to kind of deconstruct some of the assumptions and the structures that have brought us to where we are, to ask like what might be barriers for people to see themselves as leadership educators, to find that pathway, or even once they get into the profession, that there could be, you know, aspects of the field that are not, that are barriers to their sense of belonging. I think one kind of other interesting thing is that there's lots of folks, even here in my own school, who are doing the work of leadership education, but they don't identify with that professional title. They're political scientists, they're psychologists, they're student development professionals. And then I think if we think of leadership education only as a label, or even leadership educator identity only as that professional label, then it can limit, right, access to the community. So how do we cast a really wide net, or like how do we have a big tent that encompasses leadership education as a practice, as a community, and not just as a job title or role?
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that. And too, I'm thinking about Lauren's story about Susan Komovas, and, you know, we shared on the episode from last season, you know, when I was speaking a bit about my research on, you know, who are these people that, you know, become and be leadership educators. And, you know, from some of that particular study and some previous studies, you know, less than 25% of our, you know, individuals that teach leadership, whether in curricular or co-curricular spaces, actually have a terminal degree in leadership or a related field. You know, we're coming from, you know, agriculture, you know, as you mentioned, Carrie, or higher education, you know, or other streams of education, public health, political science, the military, clergy, you know, I mean, it's all over the place. So, you know, so that's definitely true, but there are some themes that, you know, brought us to, you know, wanting to do this work, wanting to make a difference and developing others and making an impact for, you know, for sure. I know that some of the, you know, I guess impetus for getting into this line of scholarship, you know, and doing it parallel with you, Carrie, and with Corey too, is, you know, part of it was affirming kind of autobiographical work of, well, did others experience it this way? Did others just kind of serendipitously fall into, you know, teaching this stuff. You know, I think about, you know, a story I shared on a previous episode of, you know, just by happenstance being asked by someone who became a mentor later on to, hey, you want to teach this leadership class, you know, and so many people that we meet at these conferences have stories like that, or they're there, quote unquote, because my, you know, dean or VPSA or supervisor asked me to start a leadership program. And what is that like? And how do I do this work? And so we're such a young field, and, you know, we're, for whatever reason, drawn to telling these stories and being part of this narrative. And so I think, you know, that, you know, in many ways was one of the reasons that I was so excited to take on the project with you, Carrie, of co-editing the New Directions for Student Leadership on Becoming and Being a Leadership Educator. I remember getting the email from Susan Kamavez and Kathy Guthrie, you know, about that. And you know, they approached us at a conference that summer. It must have been ALE or ILE. I can't remember exactly where we were when we got the news and had a chance to you know, to discuss it in person. But, you know, that was just so exciting to have a forum to not only to explore that work in more depth, but to invite individuals from across the field that we knew had various experiences from working in youth education to teaching, you know, graduate preparatory programs, working as, you know, social justice educators, sometimes in some spaces, and just, you know, trying to explore this community of practice, both in, you know, from the lens of student affairs professionals, as well as faculty. You know, what inspired, you know, for you, that New Directions, you know, series and really diving into that work? What impact did the process have on your understanding of who leadership educators are in higher education?
Dan, like you mentioned, it was really exciting and a little daunting to take on this challenge, right? Because, like, how do you represent an entire, you know, field or like an entire, all leadership educators, right, through one issue? That's impossible. But I remember early on having conversations about how this is not a how-to guide. Like, there's no way that we can, that we even have the authority to, even just based on our own experiences and in the limited research we have, to say, like, this is the definitive guide to becoming and being a leadership educator. But that's not what this is. What we wanted to do was to create a space for talking about these things. So we wanted through storytelling, through inviting in lots of different voices, lots of perspectives, beginning to offer up maybe some best practices based on experiences, different insights, a new framework for thinking about and studying leadership educators. But this is a workspace for identity development. And I think we also use the term like a vision workspace, right? That's how by engaging with this material can readers who are leadership educators on their own journey begin to see themselves and imagine their own kind of pathway forward and the ways that they can engage and develop and, you know, join the conversation. So to me, I guess that was a really important part of this work, and really modeling what it is we're modeling through the book, the kind of philosophy of development that's important, that there's no one way to be a leadership educator, but that we're inviting you to be on that journey and to think about your own kind of journey through the process.
I love that you share that there isn't this how-to manual. I think we live in a day and age where so many people want that direction. And I love that you encourage it as, you know, this is a space to converse about your experience with others. And for me, I feel like it has much broader applications than just leadership educators. Mm-hmm. So like a little bit of my background is I look at faculty, how do we teach faculty how to build student relationships with students? We know that those interactions are important to helping students graduate. And this is faculty in general, not just leadership educators. But one of the things I think about in doing my own research and in conversing with a colleague, you know, we talked about how, you know, faculty are seen as teachers, of course, And researchers, of course, but they're also seen as leaders in that space. And I think that's something that comes natural for leadership educators to see themselves in this dual role of teaching as well as leading. But my colleague who is not a leadership educator, you know, we're having that conversation. She was like, you know, I never thought of myself as like this leader in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, because, you know, yeah, they're looking for you to teach this material, but your interactions are going to set them up for how they interact professionally. So if you're saying like, you know, figure it out on your own, or, you know, no, I don't want to help you. Like, you're kind of communicating that when they have a problem and they need to go to the person they think is responsible for that space, that leader, you know, you're kind of teaching them some of that behavior. And she's like, you know, that's not my intention at all. And I don't know that I would have thought about it until we had this conversation. And so I love that, like, your driving purpose isn't to say kind of this is how you know, should be a leadership educator. It's like, this is an opportunity for us to talk about what it means in that space. So I think I love it in our field, but I also think there's so many applications outside of it for higher education faculty members.
Well, I love that story and that tension, right? Of our leadership educators also leaders? And really, are all folks who are involved in higher education purpose and mission also leadership educators, right? I think there's some interesting rationale that we could make when we think about kind of the purpose of higher ed and what in trying to prepare people to engage complex problems in the world and be successful in careers and communities, that so much of what we do in leadership education is it's right closely connected to that. And so what if everyone involved in higher ed saw themselves as a leadership educator in some way, but then also acknowledged that role of exercising leadership within the institution. And in the New Directions chapter, so this actually came up in Corey and I's research too, about kind of that tension between leader identity and leadership educator professional identity. And Corey and Barbara Crosby have a chapter exploring those intersections a little bit more in the book, and it's really interesting. And they offer some kind of reflective exercises to help folks think about my role as a leader and a leadership educator.
Thank you for sharing that resource. You definitely have one download in me. I was going to get it anyway, but now yeah. I know that there's something that applies for sure. Yes. Already done. Thank you.
Yeah, and Carrie too. As I hear you sharing some of that, and I love that. And I think you really pushed that. I was going to say imposed it on me, but not really. It was kind of like a coming to moment for me of, okay, like we're telling a story, we're doing a narrative as we explore this process of, you know, and this experience of becoming and being a leadership educator in some ways from a phenomenological standpoint, but also, you know, inviting all these, you know, individuals from very diverse backgrounds and experiences and roles at their institutions to share their stories. And I think about that, you know, you mentioned the idea of a vision space, and from all of the, you know, knowledge that we have, you know, kind of amassed from talking to these individuals and doing this work and the focus groups and the different spaces we've been in, we proposed this, you know, framework for leadership educator professional development. And within these communities of practice, and I remember Lisa Endersby, who was a contributor to this, to this series, looking at, you know, are we a community of practice? I think we're a community of practice. We certainly have pieces of being a community of practice. You know, and so what can we do to be like the best community of practice possible? And again, that goes to that idea of, you know, being a role model and in many ways having this innate responsibility to practice what we preach. And so, you know, as we were, you know, developing this kind of evolving model of professional development for leadership educators, we knew that, okay, you know, if you're going to teach something, you should probably know something about it. So foundational knowledge was a part of it. And, you know, we have to, you know, write and publish, but not only publishing on, you know, leadership and advancing theory and practice, but it was also contributing to the learning community and doing scholarship on teaching and learning, that is so important to being a leadership educator. But I think probably one of the most important that Carrie, you really helped me to understand much more critically and in much more depth, and to really, you know, kind of battle with it, you know, internally and explore, was that idea of identity. And how important that is to the different, not only the experiences that brought us to being a leadership educator, but the current roles, both in and outside of higher education that we have while we simultaneously, you know, practice leadership education. And so I love this idea of the framework being, you know, a playground or a space to develop in, a vision space, not a here's, you know, it's this way or the highway, but more of a, hey, why don't you give this a shot? Like, these are some things that emerge from everything that we've, you know, experienced and explored. And if you're serious about doing this work and developing professionally, like, these are four really, you know, important areas of which to think through. So just curious on, you know, your thoughts on that and anything else you might want to share about the series.
Yeah. Well, and again, like I mentioned, with any model, there's room for critique and extension. And so we would really love to invite people to, if you get a chance to explore kind of this framework for leadership educator professional development, we'd love to hear what others think. We drew from, again, some foundational work that was happening in kind of the teacher ed, teacher preparation literature, as well as some of work with our colleague, Julie Owen, and with Corey Seemiller and others, just taking some of this work and offering a framework that could be a starting point for some discussion and some hopefully research and practice. One thing that excites me is when I think about the types of professional development experiences that are being offered now and in the future, I'm thinking specifically about like the Leadership Education Academy, Dan, and the design of that has evolved to include not only best practices and not only foundational knowledge, but identity development experiences, right? Like, we're trying to integrate our learning about these things into formal and informal experiences within our field. And as we do that, we're going to learn a lot more about, does this work? Does this not work? What's missing? What are the nuances with this? And I feel like there's a lot more to explore, and we invite people to partner in that exploration.
Hey, I love that idea. One of the things I thought about is, are there identities that supersede the leadership educator identity? So for example, like, I identify as a Black woman, and if you ask me kind of what my identity is, that's where I start. But I'm wondering I'm passionate about leadership education. I wonder, is there anything that would supersede or any role, any identities that would supersede that of being a leadership educator? Or is it, you know, the primary identity for some? I think it's wonderful to hear that there are some questions out there, and how can we continue to explore it and make it practical and worthwhile and informative for our community.
Yeah. So. And we acknowledge, I think, even in the chapter, like, we can't talk about identity without talking about our personal and social identities as well, and how those intersect and engage with our professional identity. And so that is a underdeveloped area of the research within leadership education. And I know there are some folks who are, even as we're talking here, there's another document being produced, the new leadership education research agenda, that is beginning to address some of those questions, I think, in a more explicit way. So Lauren, I agree with you. Those are the kinds of questions that we need to be attending to, especially as we're looking to be a more inclusive and equitable field, right? That these are important values to our work, and we need to represent those through our practices, through our development strategies, and through our membership.
Yeah, I love that. I think my husband would be happy, because he says some things and I'm like, well, what are your strengths? Oh, you took that at work? Oh, okay. You took DISC? Oh, you did DISC at work? Okay, well, tell me. Oh yeah, I see that at home. And I'm sure he would be happy to know that I'm not the only one out there talking about or weaving my social relationships with my professional practice. On that note, I would like to say thank you so much, Carrie, for joining us for this episode of the Leadership Educator Podcast. We appreciated hearing your background and your research, and we love the work that you're doing to advance the profession.
Thanks for the opportunity.
For those of us that are listening in their car or at home or while they're exercising, we want to thank you as well for joining us. We want to share that you can follow us on Twitter. Dan is at Dr. Leadership with an underscore between doctor and leadership. And I am at Mrs. Laurjb, MrsLaurjb on social media. Thank you for the great funding that we get from the James M. Cox Jr. Institute for Journalism, Innovation, Management, and Leadership within the Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Georgia, facilitated by Dr. Keith Herndon, the William S. Morris Chair in News Strategy and Management.
Yep, and our wonderful theme music was composed, performed, and mixed by Dr. Matthew White, trumpeter, composer, and educator, and he's currently the Associate Professor of Trumpet, Coordinator of Jazz and Commercial Music, and Director of Ensembles at Coastal Carolina University. You can check him out at www.mattwhitejazz.com. Matt, thanks again for sharing your musical genius with our audience.
And finally, thank you to the Association of Leadership Educators. Check out what the ALE has to offer at leadershipeducators.org.
You can find episodes wherever podcasts are available. We also encourage you to rate us 5 stars, as the more you rate us, the easier it is for others to find us.